Turned on. There we go. Oh, there we go. Well, first of all, I want to thank all my friends and family who are here today. Thank them for coming out and, I guess, supporting me. But today, over this past week, it's been very interesting. I've been, I guess for the past few years, this what I'm going to be speaking on has been on my heart, I guess. But over the past week, it must be from the Lord, because Satan kept coming after me for this one thing, you know. So we're going to start tonight, or today, whatever, in Acts 2, the second chapter. And if you're not familiar with Acts 2, that's when the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit came unto the 120. Now, this is just a side note. There are many people who will say the infilling of the Holy Spirit isn't for everybody. It's for everyone. All 120 were filled. You know, people get confused with the infilling and the interpretation. One, it's all a fruit of the Spirit. It's one single solitary fruit. All together in one. If one part grows, the other part's gonna grow. But the speaking in tongues, as far as that, there have been people who have left this church because they don't believe in that. Because they believe that it's only for select. That's only God selects certain people for the interpretation. But that's not what I'm speaking on today. I just needed to. Acts 2, chapter 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it came to fill the house, and they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, clothed in tongues like as fire. And they sat upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them the utterance. And then there was a dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, and every nation under heaven. And then there was a notice abroad. And the multitude came together and was in front of every man, heard them speak in their own language. I'm going to stop there. I'm not speaking about tongues, but I'm talking about how the church was born in power. And now, a lot of churches, Ichabod is written upon the doorstep. You know, there's a, how many of y'all know the pastor, Kenneth Copeland? Kenneth Copeland, he preaches a false message that Jesus died spiritually. If you don't know what that is, it's basically saying when Christ was on the cross, he died a demon-possessed man and went to hell and was tortured for 3 days until he could fight them off. That is completely wrong. Our God died in majesty and glory and died for you and me. And that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago just doesn't save us, but will set you free from any bondages in your life, from whatever it is. But I would like to tell y'all a story about in 1906, there was a man named William J. Or William T. Seymour. He was a one-eyed African-American. He was short. He was stocky. And they said, eyewitnesses said that he didn't have any more life than that there fence post. But what he had was a touch of God. And he started out with just prayer meetings in a simple little house. The address was 214 Bonnie Bray Avenue. The Spirit of God fell in that place so hard that when people would walk by, and the moment their foot touched the property of 214 Bonnie Bray Avenue, they'd be slain in the spirit. And then they would come up saved and filled with and speaking with other tongues. It eventually got too heavy. It got too many people there. So they had to find another location. You're gonna, most of y'all might recognize this one. 312 Azusa Street. Where for 3.5 years, the Spirit of God filled that place. And many miracles happened there. It said in one eyewitness account that they shouted 3 days and nights because the Spirit of the Lord was there uncontrollably. There was other eyewitnesses' accounts that went forth and they said they would see the building on fire. They would call the fire department. The fire department would bust down the door with that hose looking for a fire. But they didn't find a fire of natural proportions. They found the fire of Almighty God in this place. But the fact of the matter is, many churches don't want that. They'd rather, they have this thing. Have y'all ever heard of Kickstarter? Kickstarter is a website you go on and people donate money to it to help fund your idea. Well, they have one idea that is, it's saying, let's have a McMass. Let's put a McDonald's in the lobby. Let's have wrestling matches in our churches. Let's have a Starbucks in our churches. You cannot influence the world by being like the world. It says, come out from them and be separate from them. The music of the world stays in the world. The heartbreak, the drugs, the alcohol, that stays in the world. But it is a holy place that we are at. People would see Azusa Street as for the lower class. The people are too dignified to see that it's from God. Well, all I can say is that's why your church has no power. That's why you haven't seen anybody saved or filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you reject what the Holy Spirit's going to do. People who reject the infilling of the Holy Spirit, your church will be dead. Because that's your power. That's your power. These churches represent the last church in the church age. The Laodicean church. We are increased in goods and in need of nothing. And they reject the cross. They reject Christ. But the church people, I guess, are partly to be blamed. But the true blame goes on the pastors that allow this to happen. The pastors that teach Jesus died spiritually, preaches a prosperity gospel, preaches a feel-good message. We need pastors with backbone that will stand behind the pulpit and say, I don't care if everybody in the church walks out. There is a message that must be preached, thus saith the Lord. But that doesn't happen that often today. There was the pastor is to set the spiritual standard of the church. The same way it is the father's job to set the spiritual standard of his family. So it boils down to this. Dead churches are because of dead pastors. Any pastor that teaches these false prophecies, these false religions, these false whatever you want to call them, first off, they need to be saved. And then they need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and hear from heaven and get behind a pulpit and preach, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." There was a pastor a few years ago who was interviewed on Larry King. You're going to find these, what he said, very interesting, and I'm not going to be keeping y'all here too long. Not at all, in fact. The minister in question, Joel Osteen. King, "You're not a fire and brimstone preacher, are you? You don't pound the decks with damnation." He says, "Osteen, no, I don't believe in that. I believe maybe it was for a time, but I don't have a heart to condemn people. I'm here to encourage. I see myself as a coach, as a motivator." Which is true. A pastor is here to motivate. But he also has to preach the truth. If you're not condemning people because of what they're doing, simple quota, if you don't, pastors love the sinner but hate the sin. If he doesn't love you enough to condemn you of what you're doing, then why would you be there? You'd have to be living in sin to stay there, for you to feel comfortable there, more or less. And he sees himself as a coach. Even a coach points out the error. Could you see Vince Lombardi with the Green Bay Packers? If the Green Bay Packers ran the wrong play, you think he was going to go say, "Oh, it's all right, I love you"? No, he would have taken them by the shoulder pads and said, "What are you doing?" I played football. My coach, something else, to say the least. He was a great coach, and you know, I give him that, you know. He pointed out the error without, I guess, screaming at you, throwing stuff at you. If I did something wrong, he'd explain what I did wrong and move on. That's the job of the pastor. To stand behind the pulpit and say, if you're not living right, you're not going to go to heaven. It's simple as that. And then King says, but don't you think if people don't believe as you believe, they're somehow condemned? He said, it's not my job to straighten everybody out. Yes, it is. It's his job. He's on TV. People are watching him. If he doesn't tell them what's wrong, people are going to believe, well, I can live wherever way I want to, and I'm going to go to heaven. No, you're not. God said he'd rather you warm or cold, not lukewarm. He'll spew you out of your mouth. You could be holy, because there is none righteous, no, not one. We're righteous because of the blood which washes us clean. It's his job as a minister of the gospel, and I say that very loosely, to straighten everybody out. It is his job. Yes, it is. What if you're Jewish or Muslim, King said. You don't accept Christ at all? Osteen. I know I'm very careful about saying who wouldn't and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. I do. I learned that when I was 5 years old. Those who don't trust in the Lord will not go to heaven. It's simple. It's so simple, people can't understand it. It's so simple that they want this deep theology. I heard one pastor say, and some of y'all gonna know who you, some of y'all gonna know what I'm talking about. He said, the people asked him, "Give me some deep theology. Give me something deep." He said, "Okay. Jesus good, devil bad, Bible right." That's about as deep as you need it. Because guess what? We're sheep. We're not the smartest creatures on the planet. He's our shepherd. He knows far more than what we can go. Far more than what we know. So yes, it's his job to straighten out the people. And he should know. He is a minister that ministers to thousands of people every Sunday. And will not preach, "Thus saith the Lord." King, if you believe you have, if you have to believe in Christ, aren't they're wrong, aren't they? Osteen, "Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong." How can you say that? If you truly love the Lord, you would tell them, "Yes, they're wrong." Osteen continues, "I believe what the Bible teaches," and that's the problem. He doesn't believe what the Bible teaches. From the Christian faith, this is what I believe, but I don't think that only God can judge a person's heart, which is true. But we can judge their lifestyle. We can judge the fruits of, we can judge the fruits that come from them. I spent a lot of time in India with my father, but I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. Which one? They got 10,000 different gods, one for the scorpion, one for the snake, one for that girl's hair down the road. It's just, it's ridiculous. And I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I don't know. A Satanist can be sincere. Plain and simple. And that's going to an extreme. But all paths will lead you to hell, so it doesn't matter. It says, "Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and wide is the gate that leads to hell." Because there's one way. There's one way. Oprah Winfrey will tell you there's many different ways to heaven. There's many different ways to what you call God. That is false. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to know that. Those who don't trust in God, don't trust in Jesus, don't believe. Let me put it to you this way. Jews believe in our Heavenly Father. But they don't believe in Jesus. When he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man will cometh unto the Father except through him." So, will Jews go to heaven unless they accept Christ? No, they won't. No, they won't. They have to accept Christ and him crucified to go to heaven. You know, I must admit, on the way here and listening to the songs before I continue, I was like, "God, if you want to come down and preach for me, that's fine. I don't care if the Kool-Aid man busts through here. He can preach too, you know?" Oh, yeah, right? You know, so forgive me. King, how about issues that the church has feelings about? Abortion, same-sex marriage. "Yeah, you know what, Larry," Osteen says, "I just don't go there. Homosexuals are dying on your pulpits, but yet dying and going to hell, but you won't say a thing. Let babies be murdered. It doesn't matter. I just don't go there." No. He just doesn't go there. Is it right to take a baby and slit its throat before it's born? Or as it's being born, slit its throat. It's How can you not say, how can you not talk against that? I saw a statistic. Stalin killed 23 million people. Hitler killed about maybe 30, something in that general area. Abortions in just America are up to 58 million people. And I say people, it's not a lump of tissue. Human beings, we don't know. One of those 58 million could have been the cure to cancer. Could have been the one to cure it. But no, it just wasn't right. Those human beings should have to pay for your mistakes. It's just wrong. And that's what a lot of pastors are having trouble today, is telling people what's wrong in the world. If you don't have the guts, if you don't have the ability to stand up and say this is wrong, then get off the pulpit. King, you have thoughts though. Osteen, I don't think same-sex marriage is the way God intended it. I don't think abortion is the best. The best? So you're saying it's an option. We have to be careful. We have to be careful about who we let in our houses. When you're flipping through the stations and a preacher comes on and is saying stuff like that. You know, the Bible says that we are not to receive them into our home. You might be saying, well, I don't receive Joel Osteen into my home. He never came to my home. Yes. But when you have him on. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not. Not at all. But what I'm saying, what he preaches isn't the word of God in any way, shape, or form. King, you don't call them sinners? Osteen, I don't. I don't use that word. Even after you are saved, you're still going to sin, so you're a sinner. But once you become saved, you're no longer labeled a sinner. You're labeled saint. You're no longer, how can I put this? You're no longer a slave to the enemy. But you're a child of the one true king. Which camp would you rather be in? When Christ came and died, he wasn't defeating Satan for him. He already defeated Satan. It wasn't no contest. He had to defeat Satan for us. He had to defeat Satan for us. For us to be able to have a relationship with him, he had to defeat Satan for us. That's why when we put our faith in him, in Christ, that's why we do it, because we can't fight Satan in any way. We can't stand here. We can't pull out a sword and we can't fight him. We can't say, well, we're not going to do this. I promise not to do this again. You're going to do it again. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is, you will do it again. That's why you have to let the blood of Jesus wash away everything. Whenever the blood came forth, when Jesus died, spiritually speaking, the blood covered the law and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Which means I can be assured of unputed righteousness because of the blood. When Christ looks at me, when he looks at you, born again Christians, he doesn't see our sins. All he sees is the perfect blood of Christ. He doesn't see it anymore. The same way when the children of Israel, before they left Egypt, they made them put the blood on the doorpost. And if you didn't have the blood, death angel would come and kill your firstborn. Even in the Old Testament, we were saved by grace through faith. Yes, they had to kill bulls and goats and doves and all the different animals of the world. But they were saved because they had their faith. Little did they know it yet, they had their faith in Jesus Christ. But they had their faith in God. It was their faith in Christ. When Abraham died, that's what sent him to heaven. It's your faith in Christ that will bring you out. Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. This is what the Bible calls a minister of the gospel, who is like Joel Osteen. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one of his gain, front of his quarter. It calls him a dumb dog sleeping. It is the job of the pastor when he sees a vermin ready to take one of his lambs to put the trumpet to his lips and blow with a sure sound and say, "That is wrong. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing." It comes down to one thing. Christ crucified. You can't go beyond the cross of Christ. If you do, you'll fall off the edge. You got to start all over again. It is the cross. If you're bound, let me put it to you this way. If you are bound by hate, the blood. If you're bound by greed, the blood. If you're bound by homosexuality, the blood. If you're bound by oppression and depression, the blood. It is the master key to everything. Christ is the master key, in turn, the blood. When David, when he was bringing the ark back, at first he put it on a new cart. All Joel Osteen and these other pastors have are new carts. And new carts bring death, not life, and we see that. They were bringing it on a new cart. It came to an uneven plain on the way. I think it was Uzzah stretched out his hand to steady it. The anger of the Lord was kindled and he was smitten dead. No man can come into the presence of the Lord through his own strength and abilities. You must go through the Lord. And at the time, it was the priest that had to go. So they stuck the Ark of God in the house of Obed-Edom, where for 3 months, the Spirit of God blessed the house of Obed-Edom, because Obed-Edom knew how to handle the Ark of God, which is the presence of God to us now. David went back to the city. He consulted the Lord, read the scriptures of how the ark was to be transported. It was to be transported by priests, which are types of Christ. And they were to carry it. And this time, there was some singing going on. The Levites first, the maidens second, the men third. and they carried the ark, and they would walk about six paces, put it down, offer sacrifice, pick it back up, walk another six paces, put it down, offer sacrifice, pick it back up, walk another six paces, put it down, offer sacrifice. What does that mean? The way they were going from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem. Maybe it wasn't far. Maybe it was only a little ways. But the way they were walking was a bloodstained way. The way they were going was a bloodstained way. They were walking on the blood. They were walking by the blood because the blood was showing where they needed to go. It wasn't to go to any other city. It wasn't to go, honestly, to another man's house. It was to go to Jerusalem because that's where the blood was. That's where the blood of God was leading them. God will always reveal that path unto you. And you know it's God's way when it's a bloodstained way. And how do you know it's a bloodstained way? When you're not being condemned by the way you want to go. It's simple as that. It's the blood. It's the blood. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Joel Osteen needs to read a verse like that. You cannot be saved unless you are purged by the blood. What does that mean? Jump in the blood. Let it get in you. Let it get on you. Let it get everywhere. Let it go in your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your nose, everywhere. So you know you're going to see the blood. You're going to taste the blood. You're going to hear the blood. And you're going to smell the blood. And you'll be able to feel it. That means everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, is the blood. And get regular doses every day. That means getting in his word every day. And getting a fresh pouring of his blood every single day. Matthew 26:28. Having y'all flip all over. Y'all don't mind, huh? For this is my blood for the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, which we took part in today in communion, which is the shed for many for the remission of sins. One sin. Your sin is not different from my sin. Sin is sin. It's a root and has many branches. And we all get caught on different branches here and there. But it all comes down. It's one root and it's sin. You will never fully be able to go without sin. That's just the way it is. Because we have been born with a sin nature in us. We can't go through life without sinning. It's just the way it is, because that's the way our nature. When Adam and Eve fell, when we were born, the sin nature, first of all, entered them. Then, now it's that gene, you want to put it that way, has been passed on to us. I'm going to say this, too. Christ couldn't save man with his virgin birth. As a lot of people want to say. He couldn't do it. That's not the way. He had to die and be our sacrifice. He had to take on the sin of the world and wash it away with his blood. Buddha's blood could not break the bondage of sin. Muhammad's blood could not wash away sin. Any Indian god in the world could not wash away sin. But one drop of the precious blood of Christ could wash away every sin, past, present, and future, and could break every chain in your life through everything. I'd rather have the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament than have the blood of a false prophet, even though that has been done away with. They have many churches today who are even trying to go back into law. First of all, there was nothing wrong with the law because God made the law. But now we have a better covenant today. A covenant based on faith and grace and what Christ did at the cross. Your faith in Christ is the only thing. Your faith in that blood is the only way. John 8:36. And y'all don't have to turn there if y'all don't want to. I know that's a lot of turning. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And you know how that's done? By the blood. By the blood, because that blood will wash away that sin. It already has. Let it do it again. Again, I say, if you're bound by greed, the blood. It's all in the blood. I'm going to leave you with one thing in Acts chapter 2 again. We'll find it. Pulled my mark, I think. Swear. Oh, there we go. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I leave you with that. In the last days, I believe that there's going to be a remnant of Christ, not just in Vermilion Parish, not just in Louisiana, but around the world. A remnant that will not back down from the truth, a remnant that will, and it starts here. It starts in the church, it starts those who are visiting in your churches as well. It starts there. It starts with your pastors preaching the blood of Christ. Everything in this book that y'all see, it all ties back to the cross. Either Old Testament ties to the cross, New Testament ties back to the cross. It's all there. One. At the cross. You can't go beyond it. It's the focal point. As a circle, in the middle. That's it. It all revolves around the cross. So, in the last thing I'm going to say, I don't have the scripture. I'd have to look it up to find where it was. But in Solomon's dedication prayer, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it with me. He said, Father, if we stray from you, if we turn our backs on you, don't forget us. And the Father said, if you stray from me, even if that happens, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will come down and I will heal your land. The state of this nation is because the state of the church, and you can't argue that. So if the church will hear from heaven, we won't have to go through 4 more years of an ungodly man. It's just the way it is. So I thank y'all for listening to me. Thank y'all and have a good day.